Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan anila nijon le go shabothya, nijon le go shabothya. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kiddushi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawatakwasin, to all of our relations. from the drum Blackstone off their Kenyon Records CD entitled Round Dance Singin' with the Logan Alexis Singers. The name of that song was Mentor. The dictionary describes mentor as an experienced advisor and supporter. Usually a mentor is somebody who is older, who watches over and fosters the progress of a young, less experienced person. Yad Kadishi Native Center believes that those of us long-time activists must mentor young people in order to encourage their leadership in the important issues confronting Mother Earth and humanity. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kadishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's broadcast is entitled Climate Change and Energy Justice, a conversation with participants at the 2009 Florida Statewide Power Shift Conference. This is program 4 in our Wolf Mountain Radio special series. My first guest you will hear is Miss Jessie Moore Thomas. Jessie is a young African-American woman who, like me, is also a professional ecologist and activist. We both believe in using our knowledge of science for the well-being of all life on Mother Earth. Power Shift is a national campaign of more than 300,000 young people across the country who are calling for bold, serious action on climate change and energy justice issues. Yad Kadishi Native Center endorses this campaign. Global climate change and energy issues have long been major concerns of Yad Kadishi Native Center. An important priority of mine has been encouraging and mentoring young people to think globally and act locally on many serious planetary justice issues. This is why Yad Kadishi Native Center networks with many organizations, campaigns, and protests, such as Power Shift. I felt honored to be invited to speak at Florida Power Shift 09. It was a privilege to meet many fine youth activists concerned about global climate change and energy justice. Yad Kadishi Native Center, like many indigenous peoples throughout the world, have long been speaking out about the many serious problems impacting Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Humanity is living during a critical time in our planet's history. This is why our Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices programs focus on many important global issues that need serious attention. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, Indigenous peoples have tried for many years to warn the international community about many serious ecological issues, especially global climate change and abusive energy development. Exploitation of energy resources have greatly impacted Native peoples throughout the globe. The history of colonization and now globalization has been fueled from the greed of energy development. Indigenous peoples have made numerous declarations about climate change at various international forums, such as at the United Nations and to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. A Native woman, Sheila Watt Cloutier, former chairperson of the Inuit Circumpolar Council, an international organization of Indigenous peoples of the Arctic, shared the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize with former U.S. Vice President Al Gore for their work on global climate issues. In 1998, as a journalist, I attended a national climate conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, hosted by NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. This NASA summit was special and historic in that many Native peoples were invited to present testimony. The Albuquerque Declaration and Native Peoples, Native Homelands Climate Change Report, entitled Circle of Wisdom, is still a very important reference. There have been many other international declarations of indigenous peoples on climate, such as the Carioca at the UN Conference on Environment and Development in Quito, Ecuador, in Lyon, France, at The Hague, Netherlands, in Milan, Italy, in Kyoto, Japan, in Bonn, Germany, in Nakuru, Kenya, Africa, at the Indigenous Nationalities of the Amazon, in the April 2009 Indigenous Peoples Global Summit on Climate Change in Anchorage, Alaska, are important examples. Unfortunately, the wisdoms and knowledge of Indigenous peoples about climate change is a voice that is still not respected enough by governments, industry, and the world citizenry that seems to ignore anthropogenic global climate impacts. PowerShift is a project of the Energy Action Coalition. EAC was founded in June 2004 to unite a diversity of organizations in an alliance that supports and strengthens the student and youth clean, just, and renewable energy movement. PowerShift is known for mobilizing thousands of students and youth to rally in Washington, D.C. to pressure the White House and Congress for a strong and comprehensive climate and energy plan. PowerShift's goal is for U.S. energy policy that creates a renewable energy economy with millions of new green jobs, ends dependence on dirty polluting energy, brings America security, protects the environment, and reduces harmful global climate change pollution. The work of the Energy Action Coalition is so timely in view of the upcoming Global Climate Conference in Copenhagen, Denmark. Unfortunately, many nations, after important international conferences, do not fulfill their pledges or honor agreements made. In view of this, people must continue their climate and energy justice activism beyond Copenhagen. Yad Kadishi Native Center urges our listeners to become active in climate and energy issues. Consider joining PowerShift. Sign their petition against dirty tricks by the fossil fuel energy companies and their lobbyists. Urge President Obama and members of Congress to create safe, clean, renewable energy and climate policy. Participate in regional conferences, statewide symposiums, and local events in support of energy, environment, and climate justice actions. There are many fine organizations like EAC that will welcome your involvement. Remember, think globally and act locally. In 2006, I participated in a Florida statewide meeting of college students guided by EAC's Campus Climate Challenge to encourage universities to invest in renewable energy. Florida Gulf Coast University, where I am a lecturer and curriculum advisor, has signed the American College and University's President's Climate Commitment. FGCU is also constructing a 2-megawatt solar energy project on campus, which will reduce FGCU's use of polluting fossil fuel energy. I generally support this alternative energy project. However, the 16-acre solar field has generated much controversy that you heard about in Program 1 of this Climate Change and Energy Justice series. Institutions of higher education must show leadership on energy and climate issues. Greening of college campuses by reducing, reusing, and recycling energy should become a priority. It should be standard practice for colleges to conserve more energy and utilize safe, clean, and renewable energy technologies. Reducing a school's ecological footprint will save money. It also will be an example to society of how communities can create a healthier and sustainable future. An example of this is USGBC LEED certified energy and environment design buildings. A good example is Florida Gulf Coast University's Demonstration and Learning Center's Green Building Project that is nearing construction. Green Building incorporates a number of important key concepts in design, construction, and maintenance. These include energy efficiency, passive designs, recycled and renewable building materials, water usage, waste management, healthy indoor environment, and landscaping that protects and restores the site by planting native vegetation, which can be habitat for wildlife. The green building will showcase sustainable building standards and practices. Importantly, it will serve as a training center for engineering students and the construction industry. Universities as centers of education and research must also promote energy and environmental sustainability by their academic mission. Curriculums must include critical energy and climate issues. Courses must be interdisciplinary so that students learn about the serious global problems we are now faced with. Florida Gulf Coast University's Center for Environment and Sustainability Education, where I serve as a member of the center's Board of Advisors, pedagogy is focused on ecological literacy and planetary citizenship for a sustainable and peaceful future through scholarship, education, and action. FGCU's 9 student goals and outcomes in promotion of the International Earth Charter exemplify the type of education needed for the 21st century. As I welcome Jesse Moore Thomas to Wolf Mountain Radio, I wish to read a statement from the Earth Charter which I think exemplifies a philosophy those of us in power shift believe in. Quote, "In the midst of a magnificent diversity of cultures and life forms, we are one human family and one Earth community with a common destiny. We must join together to bring forth a sustainable global society founded on respect for nature, universal human rights, economic justice, and a culture of peace," unquote. Jesse, welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Hi, my name is Jesse Moore Thomas. I am here at Florida PowerShift here at University of Central Florida. I'm here because I very much care about the environment and clean, renewable energy. To renew the energy and the environment is to renew ourselves and our relationship with the environment, and I'm proud to be here.
Jesse, whenever possible, it is important for climate and energy justice activists to not only inform people about the serious issues of climate change and poisonous energy sources like coal, oil, tar sands, and nuclear power that impact human health and damage the environment, but we must also educate people about safe, clean, renewable energy sources such as conservation efficiency, solar, wind, geothermal, and ocean current technologies that are viable alternatives to the life-threatening old polluting sources. Many folks here at PowerShift are in agreement that we must try to show the public that PowerShift means both moving beyond fossil fuels as well as shifting our way of thinking. You have an interesting project idea called Man-Mentum. Would you please tell us about this?
This project I want to do, it's just an idea now, but I want to do a global nonprofit. It's called Man-Mentum. It was originally started as CNAG, which is a circumnavigation, human-powered circumnavigation around the world to motivate people to know that you can live on clean, renewable energy, and it's simpler than we think. I think in doing this, it'll show people, as an example, that we can do it, and if we're unified, anything's possible.
All can sing. Let's start with the story of Rodney King. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. I watched them beat him on TV, and Simi Valley said
them free. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. Hold on. Dies in vain. There's killer cops hit the streets again. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. A home was crushed in Albany as Diallo's killers walked out free. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. Your eyes on the prize and hold on,
hold on.
A cry for justice fills the air. This is no time for despair. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on.
Rebuild America.
Eyes on the prize. That dream we are building never dies. You can't murder justice. No, no, no. You don't carry freedom. No, you don't. We can see a future where our children share the earth. Won't take that from us, no you won't. We've got to
rebuild America,
keep hope alive. We've got to
rebuild America,
keep hope alive. We've got to
rebuild America.
Eyes on the prize, that dream we are building never dies. We gotta end racial profiling, violence must cease. When will they learn it? No justice, no peace.
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
We've got to educate our children, not put them in jail. By whatever means necessary, we must prevail.
Hold on, hold on,
hold on. Our cities are crumbling, our schools are disgraced, and we're building more jails, putting weapons in space. Alive, we've got to
rebuild America.
Keep hope alive. We've got to
rebuild America.
Eyes on the prize. That dream we are building never dies. Now don't sit at home saying, what could I do? Remember that unity starts with you.
Hold on.
Democracy dead, only time's gonna tell. Get your feet in the street and start raising some hell.
Hold on, oh, hold on,
hold on. Yeah, sisters and brothers, keep your eyes on the prize, cause we're building a dream, the dream never dies.
Hold on.
We've got to
rebuild America.
Eyes on the prize. That dream we are building never dies. Oh, that dream we are building never dies. Oh, the dream we are building never dies.
Music from singer-songwriter Ann Feeney. Off her CD entitled, Have You Been to Jail for Justice? The name of that song was Rebuild America, Keep Hope Alive. I featured that song as a reminder that energy justice is a human rights issue.
It is a civil rights issue. Energy justice is an important aspect of changing the old political-economic power structure in America, where huge energy companies, working in partnership with banks, lobby the government in order to control energy policy. It is time to restore democracy. It is time to rebuild America with a clean, safe, renewable, and affordable decentralized energy economy that is equitable for all. Power shift means creating a society that runs on energy sources that do not harm human health or the well-being of all other life on our planet. This is a dream that can be achieved if we all work together in a common vision. My guest today on Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, is Miss Jessie Moore Thomas. Jessie is a youth activist and ecologist. I spoke with her at the 2009 Florida Statewide Power Shift Conference. Jessie, I often like to ask program guests, who are young people, how they feel about their generation's concerns or lack of concerns about important issues such as global climate change and energy policy. Do you think many youth in America care about their future? Are too many young people ambivalent? Or do you think many students and youth are involved in energy, environment, and other important issues? Generally speaking, are you optimistic about your generation?
Yes, I'm very optimistic about it. You know, a lot of people in the industry and media slam us out to say that we're Generation Q, we're quiet. But I think we're way louder than that. We're Generation L right now. We are very loud. I see a lot of people, you know, setting up as examples for our generation, for the next generation coming up, because we're learning from the older generation also. I'm learning from what Cesar Chavez did, or even Chico Mendes, people who have just been great examples of environmental progress, human progress, and respecting the earth, and also to respect ourselves. Yes, I am very optimistic about the younger generation.
Jessie, meeting young people like yourself, networking with various youth activist organizations, taking part in nonviolent civil disobedience actions, and being invited to student and youth conferences such as Power Shift does give me hope for the future. It does renew my spirit to continue to fight for justice. However, I am worried that the vast majority of the public is still oblivious about many critical issues and injustices. What's worse, big public relations campaigns by the energy industry is a great public deception. Many mining and utility companies' advertisements are outright lies. How do we turn this around and get the truth about climate change and energy issues to the general public?
Well, I would say speak up and speak out. I know that some people are aware. It's not just about standing up and speaking out. It's about action. You know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And as long as we stand up and be unified and, you know, help out with one another, I'm speaking to you right now and you're speaking to me. Me speaking to someone else, you know, teaching them about climate change is the best thing to do. It starts with one individual and can sprout out more. And I think any individual can have a huge amount of change. Be the change that you want to be in the world. That's the basis of it all. Gandhi started out with the Muslims and the Hindus, and the British were out, and now they're an independent country.
Run through our veins, moving monuments to better days. That mountain stands over our darkened lungs. It's time to ponder what we've become. In his company town, it's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, the tower goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company.
Yankee bosses worked us so hard for their well-dressed children and their well-kept yards, while coal camps echoed with the mournful sounds of impoverished voices from deep in the ground. Under this company town is what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company. Memories of World War II. Minds worked round the clock was the American thing to do. Families gathered round their radios to hear FDR say we'd make it somehow in our town. Jobless faces and their grim plight, while four men and a drag line blow the mountaintop off to take its heart out. Now it knows what we've lost in this company town. It's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company town. Until the life's all drained out of a company town.
Music from the 2004 Falling Mountain Music CD entitled Moving Mountains, Voices of Appalachia. The name of that song was Company Town, sung by Andrew McKnight. I was gifted that CD when I was invited by mountain justice activists to see what coal mining, especially mountaintop removal, is doing to the land and people of Appalachia. That song reminds us how the mining industry not only destroys the land, pollutes the air and water, but also controls people's lives and the communities where they operate. While that song focuses on Appalachia, it is important to remember that raping the land for coal takes place in many parts of the globe. In America, coal is mined in 33 states. Currently, approximately 50% of U.S. electricity is generated from coal power plants. The coal industry is a very economically and politically powerful force in America. Mining and utility companies, despite public concerns about human health, about destructive impacts to ecosystems, and climate change, plan massive increases in mining and burning coal. Currently in the United States, there are plans for at least 250 more coal-burning electric generating stations. This is why hearing industry and politicians use the words clean coal technology is so deceptive and scary. The term is an oxymoron. Most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know that American Indian and Canadian First Nations lands have long been destroyed by government and industry deals to extract coal and steel water. The imposition of Euro-American-style tribal governments by Washington under the 1934 Indian Reorganization Act was largely due to the U.S. government's plans to exploit energy and natural resources from native lands, especially coal. This colonial rule, known as the Howard Wheeler Act, originated a decade earlier. In 1924, Standard Oil Company pressured the U.S. Bureau of Indian Affairs to convince Diné Navajo to allow oil drilling on the reservation. When the Diné Navajo refused, BIA Commissioner Burke promulgated the following, quote, regulations relating to the Navajo Tribe of Indians to promote better administration of the Navajo Tribe of Indians in conformity to law, and particularly as to matters in which the Navajo tribe at large is concerned, such as oil, gas, coal, and other mineral deposits, unquote. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, founder and chairman John D. Rockefeller's Standard Oil was for a time the largest oil refiner in the world and one of the first multinational energy companies. Under President Ronald Reagan, the federal government encouraged expansion of exploiting native lands by encouraging private industry energy development through supporting the creation of CERT, the Council of Energy Resource Tribes. 54 American Indian tribes and 4 First Nation tribes of Canada are CERT members. CERT's support of energy development give a deceptive public image that portrays many Indians favoring mining. I and other traditional native peoples consider this a desecration of our sacred Mother Earth. The In Defense of Sacred Lands project that I worked on in the 1980s, fighting Peabody Coal Company's mining native land in what's now called the U.S. Southwest, is a tragic example of what's occurring to indigenous peoples' lands throughout the world, namely economic globalization. In the late 19th and 20th century, American coal companies, like kings of old, maintained a serfdom of miners who had virtually no other means to support their families but to work in unsafe company mines. In Appalachia, as in other mining areas of the country, houses, hospitals, stores, and even churches were company property. Generations of poor mountain people were totally dependent on their servitude to the all-powerful mining company. Companies enforced control by using security men like Pinkerton or Baldwin Feltz. These private detectives were nothing more than hired thugs. County sheriffs, like the infamous Don Chafin in southern West Virginia, used the excuse of law and order to prevent workers organizing for better working conditions and a living wage. There is a long and violent history of what's been termed coal mine wars. Despite the creation of the United Mine Workers of America in 1897, unions have always been targets of big business. The 1912 strike at Paint Creek and Cabin Creek, the 1920 Matewan Massacre, the 1921 Battle of Blair Mountain, to the current day fights against strip mining and mountaintop removal, mining wars continue. Mining companies still control politicians whose political careers are dependent upon the mining industry. U.S. Senators Robert Byrd and John D. Rockefeller from West Virginia have a long congressional record supporting the coal industry. Coal mining is one of the most dangerous occupations. Despite regulations from the U.S. Mine Safety and Health Administration, many workers die annually from explosions and other mining accidents. Miners also suffer serious debilitating and lethal heart, lung, and kidney disease. Highly toxic coal dust likewise affects the health of community residents living in coal country. I remember visiting Appalachia and having my truck windshield covered with black coal dust. It was like highly toxic black snow. Another serious issue that needs to be highlighted are the biological and health impacts from mining waste. There are millions of tons of coal ash that are disposed of in waste ponds. Many of these dangerous slurry impoundments are unmonitored. Scientists as well as community residents know that highly toxic waste is contaminating precious underground drinking water. People's well water are very black and poisonous. As an ecologist, I have seen firsthand the poisoning and killing of aquatic life in many creeks and streams. Industries claim that companies are restoring a lot of the raped land is a lie. All one has to do, as I have done, is visit coal mine areas. You will see that mine land restoration has not been successful. It is highly unlikely it ever can be. Mountaintop removal mining destroys the forest ecosystem, first by clear cutting, then by exploding and bulldozing coal seams. Even if the companies contour the remaining rock debris, which many have not done, it is nearly impossible to regrow a natural forest or reestablish wildlife. Watersheds are destroyed by coal mining. Coal mining operations often violate important federal environmental health and safety laws. Some states also have mining regulations. Unfortunately, in many cases, there are very little inspections, monitoring, or enforcement due to limited staffing, financial constraints, or lack of political will. Some of these important laws include NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, the Endangered Species Act, the Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation and Liability Act, the Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, and the Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act. Coal mining has always been a socioeconomic and environmental injustice.
My name is Joe Barnett. I live in Hardy, West Virginia. I live up in the head of a little hollow that has been affected by mountaintop removal in a very adverse way. The coal company came in initially and said they were going to do a little strip mining and that wouldn't be any harm to our community. So they got their permits and they came in and they started to cut timber and run off all the wildlife, and then they started their valley field, polluted our streams, killed off our fish. Basically, they came in and they raped our community. Then as a result of that, we got a flood that washed a lot of people's properties out, and they came in to repair the damage from the flood and they cut our water supply off. And everything that we've got them to do, we've had to force them through a lawyer to do. They also effectively turned neighbor against neighbor, family against family. It's really not only did they rape the mountains and the hollows, but they're splitting up the communities too. I've worked in a mine since 1974, but it was all underground mining. And this valley field mining that comes in, they first come in and they just cut down every tree in sight. It's called clear cutting. They just completely clean the mountainside off. And then they start dynamiting and shaking your homes up. And then once they blast the rock, they just start pushing it over in whatever valley is nearby. And they fill in stream beds. They run off game. We deer hunt. We fish. That's no longer available to us. They've successfully destroyed our way of life in our communities, what they've really done. We have people in the community that's in their mid-80s. And in all their lives, they've never seen floods in that hollow like this. And in 1997, the first flood that came of this cost two people their lives in our community. Then in the year 2001, we had three floods, and each one does its fair share of damage. And the company's not only successfully get away with this, the state will approve permits for them. And then the biggest insult to our community and our way of life is then the coal company goes public and calls it an act of God. And that infuriates me because God didn't set those mountains and valleys there to be destroyed. A lot of times when they go before judges, if they can get judges to look at it from an industry point of view and call it big business and call it progress, then a lot of judges rule for them, and the common man don't always have much say in it. As far as the home goes, my home is 12 years old, and what the blast damage didn't mess up, flooding's affected my land, and I couldn't sell my house now, probably, and get anything hardly out of it. We live in fear. The whole hollow now is just in a state of anxiety every time it storms. We've learned that they're permitted to start another strip down the other side of our hollow. So now we're going to have it behind us and in front of us. The way we gauge it when the ponds start to overrun onto the spillways, mm-hmm. we know that it's just a matter of time that the little streams is going to be full in the hollow. And so different ones of us just go up and check it regularly. Even in the middle of the night, some of us check it. And I always like to say that every law that's been written on safety was signed with someone's blood, because it's always been through accidents that we get improvements in our laws. Apparently, the lawmakers in the state are swayed by lobbyists and special interest groups, and they come in and make big political contributions to candidates, and it's corruption at its highest level. I mean, that's what you would have to call it. But the common man, the working man, is not able to get out and go to the state house to all these meetings and try mm-hmm. to lobby, because we're out trying to provide for our families, and special interest groups come in, and it angers us, the working class, but we have trouble. We elect people into office that make us all kind of promises. I would like to see enforcement of the existing laws, and as we learn of new problems, for the law to envelop them in and enforce them. If a common guy like myself goes out there and throws anything in a creek, DEP will fine me severely for it. But a big corporation could come in and cover up miles of streams, and they're permitted to do it. And it bothers me that the same law that holds me won't hold the coal companies.
You are listening to Yatkidichi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
The segment you heard prior to our Yatkidichi Native Center program identification featured Appalachian Miner and Mountain Justice activist Joe Barnett from the 2004 Falling Mountain Music CD. Yatkidichi Native Center urges people who are concerned about how mining destroys people's lives and ecosystems to become involved in the fight to defend Mother Earth and communities who are being raped. You can do this by joining energy and environmental groups that are working for justice. Two organizations we suggest are Cold River Mountain Watch, www.crmw.org, and the Indigenous Environmental Network, www.ienearth.org. I want to thank today's program guest, Ms. Jessie Moore Thomas, for speaking with us on Wolf Mountain Radio. Please listen next week of our Climate Change and Energy Justice series, where we continue our conversation, hear other youth activists from Florida Power Shift, and provide perspectives on climate, energy, and environmental justice. We shall conclude today's broadcast with music from Native flutist Hovaya Edwards off her Canyon Records CD, Morning Star. The name of the song is Early Morning Sunrise. In many Native societies, sunrise is a sacred prayer time to express our gratitude for a new day and for all the natural world relations. The animals, birds, plants, trees, grasslands, fish, and aquatic life that we share the planet with. Kinon Wantakwasin in my Wabanaki language. Sunrise is a time when we consider the Native ethic of seven generations. That is how each day we should try to protect Mother Earth and care for each other, now and for seven future generations. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinawan Wantakwasin to all of our relations.